The chair understands staff is still working on sending out certain documents for this committee meeting. So we have hard copies for all the maps that are being heard in today's committee, and Sergeant Arms will pass those out. Chair's going to begin with Senate Bill 757, the congressional map, and it's up on your screen already. Senator Heist, the gentleman is recognized to speak to Senate Bill 757.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll just briefly say, in the drawing of the map described by 757, our chairs adhered to criteria related to equal population, traditional redistricting principles, compactness, contiguity, respect for existing political subdivisions, political considerations, and incumbent residents. I've taken the opportunity to explain both in the Senate and in the redistricting committee here the details of the map by district. I don't plan to replicate that again unless someone's really looking for me to read all that information once more. And I just say, you have the maps up here and before you. I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Representative Dahl, ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have a series of questions, if that is
ladies important. Recognized for a series of questions.
So, thank you, Senator Heist. In District 1, we have the African-American voting age population of Congressional District 1 fell from 41 to 39. So my question is, do you think we are still in compliance with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act?
I believe I was told it's 41.2 to 40.4.
39.1.
I was told 40.4, but
okay.
We'll say what that is. I see no significant move of such a small amount of black voting age population or anything that would change the calculus as to whether a VRA would require to be drawn in that district or whether it would be possible to do so.
Okay, for clarification, can I ask, you were told it was 41.2 and?
40.4.
Okay.
It is on the stat pack on the internet.
Okay, that's fine. So I also am wondering, so some or part of Pitt County has been in Congressional District 1 since about 1992 and maybe longer. Given that this is a northeastern North Carolina district and Pitt is the largest county in that general area, why isn't at least part of Pitt in Congressional District 1? It seems odd that we're taking that out and then coming down and collecting these other ones.
I would say that Pitt is now kept whole within the drawing of this district, which whole county provisions is actually a constitutional establishment for North Carolina versus how it would be divided. I think you measure from north to south. It's roughly in the center. So we come again of North Carolina, and I think we could draw districts that better met the redistricting criteria by establishing it whole here within District 3. Numbers are arbitrary. We can change it, you know, if we really did. I guess we name that District 1 now and meet that criteria, but numbers are the numbers.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm more concerned about, I'm going to continue to be concerned about African-American population and how we're not. That's my concern.
As were the chairs.
Okay. So now I want to shift us a little bit to focusing on the fact of the drawings of 13, 14, and 5. So get my glasses out. But they seem, I'm really confused as to why we chose to split Wake three ways. And come, you know, you got a little, it looks like John Alexander's district used to look. It's like we came down in a dip of Lee, Harnett, and Johnston, and then went back up. And my concern is, you know, Lee and Harnett and Johnston are, I mean, that's where I grew up, and those counties are very different from Granville, Person, and Caswell. Franklin's kind of off in the middle. So, I mean, that's where I have. So my concern is, how are those constituents glued together with that constraint?
So Wake County, as you specifically referenced, is one of the two counties that contains, that can contain an entire congressional district that's coming in. So we drew them to contain a entire congressional district. What you see there is two. I would say, particularly related to your questions around 13, those are the areas around the triangle, the kind of the exterior areas of the triangle. They are all in the exterior regions around Wake County, and were and have similar characteristics for being in that. I appreciate your reference earlier to saying that it mimics other districts that have previously been drawn, but that's why they were chose to do that.
So, all right. Thank you for that answer. I specifically don't like that answer because I'm still confused, because I don't, you know, Orange County and Durham County, you could have come down and kept it compact. I think it's the compactness that really concerns me in that district, because I think we've divided it, and I guess maybe we've divided it for partisan advantage, which is all right now, which I don't quite get, but that's not our argument now. So I'm just wondering, how we did we do it because of partisan, or did we do it because it just doesn't feel very compact?
When our goal is to keep, and we meet the compactness requirements as well, but when our goal is to keep as many counties whole as possible, dividing counties multiple ways within one county quite simply allows you to keep more counties whole within the state.
Okay. It just feels like we're trying to get rid of three Democrats in order to have more Republican folks in the Congress, which may or may not be fair to the people of North Carolina. That's what I'm really worried about, is I feel like we're drawing maps to an advantage, and we're not taking into consideration the people of North Carolina. And I would hope people know, and I guess this is a statement now, I would hope people know that I care more about the people of North Carolina than I care about my D or my or an R. I'm friends with everybody, but I kind of feel like the people of North Carolina are getting shafted. And I'm not sure we're being true. It just feels very partisan to me, and very kind of hidden behind the lines of compactness and the rules and all of that. So it's just incredibly disturbing to me that the people of North Carolina are being forced to pick that way. But thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate it.
Members, is there further discussion or debate on the congressional map? Seeing none, Representative Hardister moved.
Representative Quick, I had emailed in that I had a question.
Okay, Representative Quick, you're online. The gentleman is recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and forgive me for not being there in person. I'm about 3 minutes away, but I'll go ahead. Senator just explained two things, and I have a question. The first thing I heard the Senator say was that the whole county provision was very important in this redistricting process. And I'll put a period right there. The second thing I heard the Senator say was that in the instance of Wake County has enough population in and of itself to be a congressional district plus some, so Wake was divided into three. Now my question, in looking at Guilford County has just short of the number of persons needed to be its own congressional district. yet it was divided into three parts on this map. So why does the whole county provision not apply to Guilford County in this instance? Thank you.
So with any discussion you have, it is impossible to have 100 counties whole. That's what coming in. Counties have to be divided. And with Guilford County being divided, had to be divided once, couldn't have contained an entire congressional district within it, didn't meet that criteria. Dividing it twice means another county, and I think we got it up to 89 counties, were not divided in the drawing of these maps. And dividing that county twice allowed us to maximize that number.
Follow-up.
Gentleman's recognized.
Then let's talk about the compactness of the district. Guilford County's district now stretches to the Tennessee border. How does that make sense if we're talking, if we consider compactness?
I know we didn't print out copies of the stat pack. I know that they are available, but we have two measures that we have utilized for measuring compactness. I will say that all those are available for those districts as part of the stat pack that's coming in. Both Posey Pops are, but yes, those are all available to the committee members. That is how we both historically and in this drawing have measured compactness.
Final follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Historically, Guilford County has never, I had a district that, and if it goes beyond my memory, then I'm sorry, I don't remember. But as far as I can remember, Guilford County has never had a district that stretched to the, not only Tennessee border, but also to the southwestern Virginia border. So I heard you say, Senator, historically, but historically Guilford County has not been represented in that way. I don't know if there's a question in there, but I just have opposition to that statement.
I can remember also historically when the representation had a Mel Watts district that ran the width of the interstate all the way down to Charlotte, and then was coming back, and I would place these scores against those at any time as a measure of compactness. But I feel that, you know, as I said yesterday, I would also congratulate the residents of Guilford County for having access now to three members of Congress representing them and their needs.
Statement, Mr. Chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Being in Guilford County every day as I commute, I haven't heard anyone in Guilford County, and I haven't talked to everybody in Guilford County, but I haven't heard anyone in Guilford County say they wanted representation in this way. And secondly, maybe if I had been in the legislature at the time, maybe I would not have voted for the Mel Watt district because of the way it looked and its lack of compactness as well. But thank you, and I'll stop with that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion or debate on the congressional plan? Seeing none, Representative Torbett moves for a favorable report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bell? Representative Bell? Representative Brisson?
Aye.
Representative Brisson, aye. Representative Carney?
No.
Representative Carney, no. Representative Clemens?
No.
Representative Clemens, no. Representative Cotham? Representative Cotham? Representative Cunningham? Representative Cunningham? Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bell, aye. Representative Dahl? Representative Dahl, no. Representative Davis?
Yeah.
Representative Davis, aye. Representative Dixon?
Aye.
Representative Dixon, aye. Representative Kyle Hall?
Aye.
Representative Kyle Hall, aye. Representative Hardister?
Aye.
Representative Hardister, aye. Representative Neil Jackson?
Aye.
Representative Neil Jackson, aye. Representative Mills?
Aye.
Representative Mills, aye. Representative John?
No.
Representative John, no. Representative Perret?
Aye.
Representative Parry, aye. Representative Quick?
No.
Representative Quick, no. Representative Reeves?
No.
Representative Reeves, no. Representative Sane? Representative Sane? Representative Tyson?
Aye.
Representative Tyson, aye. Representative Willingham? Representative Willingham, no. Representative Ray? Representative Ray? Representative Stevens?
Aye.
Representative Stevens, aye. Representative Hastings?
Aye.
Representative Hastings, aye. Representative Brendan Jones?
Aye.
Representative Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Torbett?
Aye.
Representative Torbett, aye. Representative Destin Hall?
Aye.
Representative Destin Hall, aye.
Representative White, were you in here at the time when they were calling the vote? And you use your microphone because that people, lady want to be recorded as voting aye.
Yes.
Representative White will be recording it as having voted aye. Sixteen having voted in the affirmative and seven in the negative, the motion passes. The bill receives a favorable report. Members will move now to the State Senate plan, Senate Bill 758. And Senator Daniel, the gentleman is recognized. I know the gentleman gave a pretty thorough explanation in the House Redistricting Committee, and leave it in the gentleman's capable discretion whether we need to do that again or just give a general overview and answer some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess if it's okay with the chair, I'll just answer any questions that the committee might have.
Okay, members, the Senate Bill 758, proposed state Senate map, is before you, and it's on the computer screens in the room. So do any members, I see Representative Dahl, what we'll do is just recognize members for questions or comments. Representative Dahl, ladies recognized.
So I got to go back to, thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Senator Daniel. Up here in Buncombe County, we got a little circle, and we did that last year, and we didn't like it. So I'm really confused as to why we're going back to drawing out, I mean, carving out these pieces of the county. And I know we're not supposed to comment on Senate maps as House members, but it just feels like we're doing the same thing. We're carving out. So can you help me understand why you did Buncombe County that way?
So thank you for the question, Representative Dahl. So Senate District 46 includes all of Burke and McDowell counties and also the rural and small towns of Buncombe County. So I think it kind of keeps the communities of interest together. The larger towns of Asheville and Weaverville are contained in Senate District 49. Part of that is that Senator Mayfield and I had a conversation some weeks ago when we discussed our district, and she indicated to me that she thought that she had represented Weaverville before and would like to represent him again. And so, you know, we just drew it that way with the larger municipalities in one district and in the rural areas in another district.
Follow up.
Ladies recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to move over here to the coast. I'm having a hard time with this. I mean, that's a huge district, and I don't know that having folks in my family from Halifax and Warren, I'm not really sure how folks in Carteret fit into that criteria. Can you help me with that? I know that this question, I think it was asked.
It was, Representative Dahl, and it's a grouping. And the alternative also creates a very long district across the coast, and so that's something that the state constitution mandates, nothing that the gentleman could have done about it even if he had liked. And I don't know if Senator Daniel has anything to add to that. The gentleman's recognized.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dahl, there are two alternative county groupings that are authorized by the Stevenson criteria. The one that you see on the screen is the other criteria, so you can see that it's also large. So obviously Senate districts are more than two times the size in terms of population of House districts. We do believe that when we represent larger districts, we should be paid more. So if you would like to file a bill to do that, then if we were paid per capita, Senate members would get paid more than twice what the House members are paid.
Or even be paid by how many bills you pass about that.
No.
Then that would be the House members.
Getting a little bit off the course here.
So the grouping that you see on this current map on the screen is just, it's the one alternative of two, and that's the choice of the committee and the Senate to group them this way.
And can I ask one more follow-up, and then I'll leave you alone. Was there a difference in partisanship in those two? I've forgotten that answer.
So if you will, let me just refer to my notes on that so I can get it right. Okay, so Senate District 1, which is Senator Hannig's district, it is still competitive, but that district will be slightly more Republican-leaning. Senate District 2, where Senator Sanderson is the incumbent, it moves from safe Republican to competitive, but still leans Republican.
Members, is there further discussion or debate on the proposed state Senate plan? Members, with the chair's, with permission from the committee or leave of the committee, the chair intends to just take a voice vote, being that this is the state Senate map, unless any members object and would like a recorded vote, which we'll do. Chair doesn't hear any objection to a voice vote, so that's what we'll do. Representative Jackson moves for a favorable report to Senate Bill 758. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes have it, and the bill receives a favorable report. You can only vote one time, Representative Reese. Okay. Come on now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Members, we'll move now to the Watauga County Board of Commissioners. Representative Pickett and Senator Heiss both are recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a local bill covering Watauga County, Johnson County, and Anson County. First part of the bill is Watauga County will be changing their Board of Commissioners voting districts from residential to electoral. Second part will be the Anson County part, and that is going to be the exact opposite. It will be changing from electoral to residential. And the last part is Johnson County Board of Elections. They will be changing theirs to where there will be three or more qualified candidates. They will have a primary. Top two vote getters will go to the election. And the second part is that anything under three, there will be no primary. Stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dahl, you look like you've got a question in mind.
I do. I have a question for the representative from Johnson County. And I wanted to know if Johnson County had asked for this.
Representative White, I think, lady, you hit your button, please. Thank you. Ladies recognized.
Thank you, sir. The Johnson County Board of Education sent us a resolution Monday and asked us to do this.
Sounds like yes. Further discussion or debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative, and again, the chair intends to take a voice vote, this being a local bill. Without objection, the chair is going to do that. Hearing none. Representative White moves for a favorable report. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes have it. The bill receives a favorable report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee.
Members, the last bill on the calendar today is an appointments bill. So the chair just intends to briefly talk about it, present from the podium. The bill includes recently created Superior Court judge positions, recently created NC Innovations Board, UNC Healthcare Board of Directors, DOT Board, Utilities Commission, State Board of Elections, various openings due to recent resignations and simple corrections to the last appointments bill. Chair understands that there's member disagreement about the existence of these certain boards and commissions, but that's a debate we've already had. So this, of course, is just the appointments to those various commissions made by the Speaker of the House and the pro tem in the Senate. So is there any discussion or debate about this appointments bill? Seeing none, Representative Hardister moves for a favorable report to Senate Bill 671. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. Opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. The bill receives a favorable report. Just one second, members. Okay, members, that's it for today's business for the House Rules Committee. The chair does not anticipate House Rules meeting again this week, and probably not this month, maybe not even this year, hopefully, if all goes well. But there are a few conference reports outstanding and other things being worked on and other bills that are being debated around the various committees. So we will see. Representative Dahl, the ladies recognized.
Is it a possibility that we could come back to this room instead of that auditorium in time?
You know, that auditorium is awfully close to the chair's office over there. So I don't know if, you know, maybe the speaker could arrange something over here for the, or maybe we could arrange something a little closer for the lady that the speaker's apt to make office moves from time to time. So I don't know if maybe something more accommodating could be found. Representative Carney, the ladies recognize.
Well, two things to that point. I guess you have now gotten to know us by the back of our heads from that other committee room. And it's nice to be in here today seeing who really is on the committee for us. But my question is, are they holding session for when we get there?
So at a minimum, yes. And I let me actually check my messages. I have been lobbying that we have a little bit later session due to this committee. And it looks like that the House was put in recess until 2:30 p.m. So you've got 45 minutes or so, and maybe even we'll eat lunch today. Who knows? Members, is there any further questions or debate or comments? Seeing none, no further business being before the committee. The committee is now adjourned.